The Rashba in the Torah Sabayis HaKatzar, everything we've said so far is from Shar Gimel. So there the Rashba writes as follows. He says that if kelim were used by a guy to cook something, so as when it comes to anything that's usur, so in this case, there's going to be blios, there's going to be taste that's usur inside the kelim, and therefore the kelim need to be treated as something that is usur, and you would have to kasher them, and all the halachos pertaining to issues of blios would apply in such a case. This is the opinion of the Rashba. The Tur here in Sif Tazayin cites the Rush, and the Rush says that we are makil regarding blios, and that if a guy cooks in kelim, cooks in vessels, so we're going to be lenient, and we don't have to be machmer in such a case. The Mechaber quotes both opinions, as we've seen. He quotes the machmer opinion as the stam, and he quotes the lenient opinion as the eshomrim. And what is the rule? If you have a stam and the eshomrim, if you have an anonymous statement followed by Yeshomrim and the Mechaber, so then we understand that the halacha is we follow the Stam. And therefore the opinion of the Mechaber is that we are machmer when it comes to blios, so if the guy cooks some food that is not allowed to be cooked in your kelim, the kelim needs to be kashered accordingly. This is clear according to the Pritoar, the Chachmas Adam, and the Archa Shochan, and this is how we paskin when it comes to if a guy does cook in one's kelim. The Achronim have Akasha on this sheet of the Rashba and the need to do Hagalas Kayam. It requires a little bit of background to understand the Kasha, so pay attention. The halacha is as follows, that in a situation where a kli, a vessel, was bolea iser, it took something on that was prohibited, so you need to kasha the kli, right? This is clear, this is Hilchos Kalim 101. However, if the kli is always used, almost all the time used, with an amount of food where there's always going to be more than shishim versus the small amount of blia that went into the clay, so we have a hetzer. We have a hetzer of mishtamish b'shefa, meaning I have a huge soup pot and a little bit of milk splatters on, a little tiny bit of milk splatters on to the clay. So the halacha is, and this is the sheet of the Rashba, that if I always use that clay, always with shishim more than that small amount, and it's always going to be batal, so that you don't need hagala, you don't need to do anything. We totally disregard the blia because it's mishtamish b'shefa. There's going to be so much more heter all the time, and therefore we don't care, we don't need to do hagala. Now, if you're going to use that kli sometimes with a little bit of heter, and sometimes a lot of heter, so there's no reason to allow mishtamish b'shefa. It's only if you're always going to use it with more than the small amount of blia that goes into the kli. And this is cited by the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Kuf Chaf Beis, that if a small amount of food is absorbed into a meat kli, and you usually use that kli with so much more than shishim, then it's not going to be a problem. And therefore, we're going to disregard the small amount that goes into the kli. Now, if what we said is correct, what's the kasha on the Rashba? If Bishul Akam is always batel barov, right? So you don't need shishim, as we're going to see later on. When it comes to Bishul Akam, it's always going to be batel barov. In all cases, every single time you use that kli afterwards, you're always going to have a majority of heter versus the blia of Bishul Akam inside the kli. According to the Rashba, every single time you subsequently cook with that kli that you cooked once with Bishul Akam, there's always going to be rov heter against that small amount of blia of Bishul Akam. And therefore, it's always going to be mishtamish b'shefa. Every single time you use the kli. So the question the Achronim ask on the Rashba is, according to the Rashba, why do you ever need Hagalas Kalim when it comes to Bishul Akam? According to the Rashba's reasoning, you're always going to use, every single time you use the kli, much more heter, rov heter, versus the small amount of blias of Bishul Akam inside the kli. And according to the Rashba, according to his own reasoning, there's no reason to ever do Hagalas Kalim, because you're never going to have an issue where there's going to be rov iser of blios versus the heter cooked in the kli. This is the kasha on the Rashba. There are really no good answers given to this problem. But but lemaisa, we pass them like the Rashba in both areas, even though we seem to have an issue of internal logic within the Rashba's own understanding of how blios work. It's a kasha that we should be aware of, and we'll use it as a sniff lakula later on. But we should be aware of this kasha. The Rama writes in Kuchaf Aleph Beis that we don't do hagala on a kli, which is Ben Yomo, right? If you mess up your kli, right, you trafe up the kli in the kitchen, so the rule is you have to wait 24 hours. Why? Because if I take the kli and I dunk it in the water, so the blios are going to go out of the kli into the water, and then they're going to go back into the kli, and I will have accomplished nothing. And therefore, we wait 24 hours, so now the kli, the tam of the bli and the kli is lifgam, and therefore, even if the tam goes into the water and goes back into the kli, so we don't care anymore because we'll be nosin tam lifgam. That's a rule always. By Gals Kalim, we wait 24 hours after you mess up the kli. The Dark and Shuvah cites the Minchas Yehuda, who says when it comes to Bishul Akum, we don't have to wait 24 hours because this is only Din Darabanan, and it's Batal Barov, and by Bishul Akum, the Blios are Batal Barov, and therefore, if the guy does cook in your Kalim, you don't have to wait 24 hours. The Chalkas Ben Yanim wants to be Machmer against this, and he says he has a Gra, which I can't find this Gra, who says that you need Shishim for Bishul Akum. I'm pretty sure that's not the Sheet of the Gra, but the Chalkas Ben Yanim says you do need to wait 24 hours. I do not think that the halacha follows the Chalkas Ben Yamin. The halacha would be that you don't have to wait 24 hours in order to kasher a kli. Next, the Mechaber quotes the Tur in Kuchaf Aleph that says, even according to the opinion that says that there are blios when it comes to a kli cheres. We know that when it comes to a kli cheres, a piece of earthenware, you cannot kasher it. It's not possible to kasher it. But there is some way that you can kasher the kli, and that is something called Hagala Gimel Pamim. To do Hagala three times, this is an opinion of the Bala Itzer. The Bala Itzer says that you can kasher a kli cheres, by doing Hagala three times, one after another, and that will take care of it. The Gilyan Maharsha there explains in Shulchan Aruch that essentially is that if you do Hagala three times, we have some form of a chazaka that the blios might have left at one time out of three. Three times must have done something, and therefore, this is the reasoning of the Bala Itzer, and we can rely on the Bala Itzer when it comes to Kli Cheres along with Bishul Akum. Generally, we don't do Hagala Gimel Pamim. We don't allow. We only allow it as a Snifla Kula. For example, you inherit your great-grandmother's china and you wait a year. So that's another Kula based on Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Meiri. And if you wait a year and it's china and you do Hagala Gimel Pamim, so then you can use the china after that year. If you're Mitzarif, all those different Kulas together, you can rely on that case. But here, when it comes to Bishul Akum, we allow you to kasher a Kli Cheres if people still use earthenware things so much nowadays. So then you could use, for Bishul Akum, you could do Hagala Gimel Pamim in order to get out of the issue. What if the guy ruins something that has electric parts like an electric panel? Okay, the guy, you hold that coffee has Bishul Akum, and the guy uses the Kerrig, and you're not going to dunk the Kerrig in boiling hot water. So what are you going to do? So in this case, the Ben Ish Chai writes in Parshas Chukas that if there's a Hefsin Meruba, you don't need any Hechsher at all on something that has Bishul Akum, which is a good cool to know. If there's a Hefsin Meruba, then you can simply wait 24 hours and forego the Hagala, and that will solve all your problems. So if it does happen, yeah. So I guess Kerrig, that's Hefsin Meruba. It's, you have to throw it a whole expensive machine. So something like that, you could certainly rely on it. I think that would be, obviously depends on your bank account. If Hefsin Meruba is, if they're buying a new Kerrig machine and you hold that coffee as an issue of Bishul Akum, so then in that case, so I guess that could be, it could be expensive for you. You wouldn't have to, you could rely on the Ben Ish Chai. If it's not such a big deal, then it wouldn't be a problem. It would be a problem. Well, Hefsin Meruba. Hefsin Meruba means B'diyevet. Shasachak, it's a Shasachak, you don't have a choice, so then you'll, that's considered B'diyevet. Okay. Next, the last thing discussed here in Shulchan Aruch, but the issues of Bishul Akum, we'll get to Bittul at the end, but really the last major sugya is the case brought in Hilchos Shabbos by a case you have a chola, and the chola needs food cooked for them on Shabbos, and you ask a guy to cook the food for them, and that is mutter, a chol sheish bo sakana, perhaps even a chol sheim bo sakana. They need something to eat, and there's nothing around for them to eat. You can ask a guy to cook for them on Shabbos. That point is not up for debate. That's din in Shulchan Aruch. You can ask them to cook. The question is, what about the leftovers after Shabbos? And does the kalim that he cooked in on Shabbos need Haggalah? And can someone who's healthy partake of the leftovers after Shabbos? Certainly someone who's healthy can't partake of the food cooked on Shabbos because it's only for the Chola. But after Shabbos, can someone who's healthy partake of the food cooked by the Goy for someone who is sick? So there are three shitos in the Rishonim and the Poskim. Let's go one at a time. The first is the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah writes in the Berak HaBayis, right? We explained at the beginning of our endeavors into Yoredeah that the Rashba wrote the Taras HaBayis and the Ra'ah, who learned with him, wrote a critique called the Berak HaBayis, that there was something wrong with the house, and the Rashba then responded in kind that no, the house is fine, there's the Mishmeres HaBayis, we don't need your help. So the Ra'ah in the Berak HaBayis first writes that if a guy cooks something on Shabbos for a chola, and there's no gzeira against Bishul Akam in that case. He doesn't explain why. He just says if a guy cooks for a chola on Shabbos, there's no gzeira, and everything is fine, and there's no issue of chasnus, he says. And he says someone who's healthy is allowed to eat the food that is prepared and cooked on Shabbos for after Shabbos. This is the very lenient sheet of the Ra'ah. It's cited by the Ramah here in Kuf Yud Gimel, in the Kudus HaKesef, and the Magen Avram, in Shin Yud Ches and Hilcha Shabbos and Orach Chaim. What is the reason of the Ra'ah? Yeah.
Or anyone?
Anyone. Well, certainly. Anyone. Yeah, you. Someone, you have to cook someone for a friend of yours, and the guy cooks for them, you can have it after Shabbos, according to the Ra'ah. No problem. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Shabbos is over. Go ahead. Okay? Not a problem. This is the sheet of the Ra'ah. Why? So there are, I think, three possible approaches. The first is that the Ra'ah thinks that since the guy cooked for the Jew, when there was no choice and the Jew was under duress, so there's no kirav hadas. That's one explanation, I think. The guy cooked for me not because I love him, because I had no choice. You could argue the other way, that maybe that would create another a kirav hadas in the other way, that, oh, I'm so thankful to you for cooking for me. But I think that's one approach, perhaps, that since it was done under duress, that you're not going to have any love for the guy in this case. Another possible explanation is that the guy hasn't done anything for the Jew in this case. Why? Because I'm not so impressed. So you cooked me a meal. I could have done it myself if it wasn't Shabbos. But what'd you do for me that was so special? It was just, I could have cooked, but it was Shabbos. And therefore, maybe he'll say in this case that that's why there's no chasness. The Ra'ah writes, Shuzman she'asar lanu levashel, that it's a time that it's usher for us to cook. Because it's usher for us, that's why there's no chasness. Meaning, because I couldn't have cooked, that's why it's not going to be a problem. If I could have cooked, then you're not so special to me. Only because there was something blocking me from cooking. And since there was just Shabbos from stopping me from cooking, therefore I'm not going to have such love for you. Yeah.
I would say completely the other way around. 100%.
Correct. You could flip it around and say, ah, I thank you so much for cooking me on Shabbos. I love you very much. Correct. You could flip it around the other way. The last, I think, is the understanding of the Gra. The Gra writes in Orach Chaim and Shin Yud Ches that it's simply uncommon. It's such a far away case that it's going to happen that someone has a chol on Shabbos and there's not going to be any food and the guy's going to have to cook for you. It's a milsa de lo shriach. The Chazal were not gozer. They did not establish this issue of Bishul Akam in such a case where it was so far-fetched. And this is, how often does it happen? You need a chol to cook for you on Shabbos. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event. And therefore, except you're in a hospital, but for people who are not, before they had hospitals, so then it's not something that's going to happen so often, and therefore the Gra seems to understand that Chazal simply were not gozer in such a case. That is approach number one, the Ra, who's lenient across the board. The more Chamor opinion is the Rashba. The Rashba responds in the Mishmeres HaBayis that a Motzei Shabbos, a healthy person, and the Chola may not partake of the food that was cooked for the Chola on Shabbos. There are no leftovers allowed, and on Shabbos the Chola had no choice. But now Shabbos is over, and now you do have a choice, and therefore there's no reason to allow you to eat Bishul Akam. We don't find that something that can be cooked and be usher, that the kalim would be behetzer. And therefore the Rashba says you have to do Haggalah as well. It can't be that the food you're usher to eat, but the kalim are fine. There's no such concept. And therefore the Rashba says the kalim also need Haggalah if the guy cooks for you on Shabbos, even behetzer. The guy had permission to cook for you, that's fine. And you're allowed to eat it, that's fine, but you still need to be mashed with the kalim afterwards. This is, he says, part of the idea of kol detikun, the rabban ke'en d'oraisa tikun, meaning since we established that There's no such concept of kalim being hetzer and the food being usser, therefore the kalim must be machshir as well. This is the sheet of the Ran, the Pri Chadash, the Chayadam, the Ben Ishchai, the Darchei Tshuva. Pretty much Rov Achronim follow the Rashba to be machmer, to not eat the leftovers after they were cooked on Shabbos for a chola. The third sheet is that of the Taz. The Taz writes here in Kuf Chav Gimel, and also by Hilcho Shabbos as well in Shin Chav Ches, that the leftovers are only usser for a healthy person, but they're mutter for the chola, since he had a heter. And this seems to be the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Shin Yud Ches and Rav Vosner as well. A few exceptions, let's go through those as well. Rav Adya Yosef writes in Levias Chayin. Levias Chayin is his Ha'aros on the Mishnah Berurah. He also writes in the Halicha Solom on the Ben Ishchai and the Yalkut Yosef as well, that if a guy cooked for a chola in a Beis Yisrael or in a Jewish hospital, then you can be lenient. You can be mitzaref kulos of a Beis Yisrael and things like that, and be makel to have it afterwards, which I guess it's probably most cases, so Rav Adya would be makel in a lot of cases where the guy had to cook for a Jew. And the Tzitz Eliezer writes in Chelek Ches, he's passing for hospitals like Shari Tzedek, where it would be tremendous loss of food if every single time the guy cooked for the Jews who were sick on Shabbos in the hospital, he had to throw out all the food that was prepared on Shabbos. There would be a tremendous loss of food, and therefore the Tzitz Eliezer says you're allowed to save the food that was cooked on Shabbos in a hospital for those people who were sick. Now, when it comes to the Achronim, there are a lot of stiras when it comes to how we paskin regarding what to do after Shabbos. I found there are four stiras amongst the Gedolei HaPoskim when it comes to deciding what to do with food that was cooked on Shabbos. We will go through each one and only attempt to answer up one of them, the Mishnah Berurah, which is the most famous of the stiras in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Shin Yud Ches Yud Dalet that there's no Bishul Akum when it comes to food cooked for a chola on Shabbos. And therefore, after Shabbos, everything is mutter. That's what he writes in Shin Yud Ches. In Shin Chav Ches, in 328, the Mishnah Berurah says that whatever was left over from Motzei Shabbos is usser, since the chola can now get food from Yisrael. Complete contradiction. The total opposite of what he said in one place. That's stira number one in the Mishnah Berurah. The Bir Hagar writes in Kuf Yud Gimel here at the end of our Siman that there's a machlokus between the Ra and the Rashba, and then he cites the Taz and the Pri Chadash, who would never allow a healthy person to eat after Shabbos. That's one shita. But in Shin Yud Ches, the Gra says that on Motzi Shabbos there's no issue of Bishul Akum at all, and everything is mutter. Another stira within the Gra. The third stira is in Rav Avram Danzig in the Chayyadam and the Chachmas Adam. In the Chayyadam, in Samech Tes, he says that the kalim used to cook on Shabbos need Hagala Gimel Pamim. You have to do Hagala. That would seem to be the Chumrah. But in the Chachmas Adam, he writes that you don't need Hagala. You just have to wait 24 hours. So again, a stira regarding what to do with the food cooked after Shabbos. And finally is the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan writes in Kuf Yud Gimel Nun Beis that L'chadchila, one should be machmer like the Rashba and to not have any of the food left over after Shabbos. But in Shin Chav Ches and Aruch Chaim, he says that you can be somech like the Mekilim, like the Ramah, against what he said in Yoredeya. And then in Shin Yud Ches, he says that after Shabbos, everyone can have the leftovers that the guy cooked. So a third or three-way stira in the Aruch HaShulchan. Very confusing. So we have all of these different of the Gedolei HaPoskim, and it's not exactly clear what they hold. In Yoredeya, they say one thing, and in Aruch Chaim, they say another. Let's first approach the famous stira in the Mishnah Berurah. I'm sure many of you have heard that the Chafetz Chaim's work on the Mishnah Berurah was a joint venture between him and his son and son-in-law. And this is written in the Toldos Chafetz Chaim, written by the son of the Chafetz Chaim, and Daf Mem Beis in the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim. And there he says that Ki b'shvil shehaksavim lo yatsu tamin me'et achav, the writing of the Mishnah Berurah does not come from one pen, nimtza l'pamim stiros, and therefore you'll find stiros in the Mishnah Berurah. And what is the example he gives? The example he gives is our case of the stira in Yoredeya and the stira in Shin Yud Ches, where the Chafetz Chaim seems to contradict himself and say that in one case the Bishul Akum is allowed, and in one case the Bishul Akum is not allowed. And this is how we answer up the stira. The son of the Chafetz Chaim tells us what the answer is. There was just a little bit of confusion when it came to writing the Mishnah Berurah. This is the reason that is cited in the first edition of the Shmir Shams Kilchasa by Rav Neuwirth. In subsequent editions, he changed his understanding, as we'll see why in a moment. Why did he change his understanding? Because it is quoted quite often in the name of the Chazon Ish that such an idea is not tenable. He is quoted in a number of places as saying, Sheker v'chazav, It's lies. V'lo niton lehiomer ki Chafetz Chaim zal over al kol ma shekasu mishabur, because the Chafetz Chaim reviewed everything in the mishabur, and therefore it is impossible that the Chafetz Chaim would have such a stira because of a mistake of multiple writers. And the and this is the opinion of the Chazon Ish, and therefore people will still try to go around and try to answer up the stira. However, Yaakov Kamenetsky and the Emes Yaakov in Orachaim and Ha'ara Tafkuf Tzadivav has no problem with the stiros, and he says that this is certainly a viable explanation to explain the contradiction regarding the Bishul Akum after Shabbos. Others have suggested another explanation, that it could be one is for a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and maybe one is talking about a chola sheyesh bo sakana. By a chola sheyesh bo sakana, maybe we'll be more lenient. By a chola sheyesh bo sakana, maybe we'll be more machmer, since the person is not such danger. In the Shoni Halachos, Shulchan Kanievsky notes the stira, and he says that there's a difference between bishul akum that was already prepared before Shabbos, which was us or after Shabbos, and the guy says, I cook something, during the week. Can I give it to this person who's sick? So you can give it to the person who's sick, but you can't have it after Shabbos. But if something was cooked on Shabbos, beheter, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, so then perhaps one would be allowed to have it afterwards. Maybe that's an explanation that he offers up to deal with this. Others explain maybe it's a difference between the Mechaber and the Ramah. But this is the famous stira in the Mishabura, and the famous explanation given by the son of the Chafetz Chaim. For the other shitas, the Gra, the Aruch HaShulchan, the Chayadam, I don't have an explanation. I guess you certainly can't apply the Chafetz Chaim's son's reasoning to them, because they all wrote their work themselves, and I guess you'd have to come on to the other reasonings brought by the Achronim. Which brings us to the last thing, which is Bittel. What are the halachas pertaining to bittel when it comes to bishul akum? So the Ramah writes in Kuf Yud Gimel Yud Aleph here that this is a din derabanan. Bishul akum is a din derabanan, and therefore safek derabanan lekula, and all issues of doubt when it comes to bishul akum. Therefore, the Shach writes in Sif Katan Chaf Aleph that if a guy cooks something, and there's rov heter in what he's cooking. Let's say the guy is cooking some sort of a stew, and in the stew are things that are olal shulcham alachem and not nechal chai, and the rest of the things are totally heter. So in that, let's say you have a lot of vegetables being cooked with some meat, and if there's rov vegetables versus the meat, so according to the Shach, it would seem that that would be fine, because it would be batel barov. This is the understanding of the poskim, including the Prima Gadim, Rabbi Kiveigel, the Chacham Asadam, the Ruch HaShulcham, the Kafachayim, the Chalkas Binyamin, that it follows Rove. And it's also Mefersh in Ramban, in Yavamos on Pei Beis Amad Aleph, the Ramban says very clearly that Bishul Akum is Batal Barov without question. Now, the Isser V'Hetzer writes in Klal Mem Gimel that this is the case even if it's a Davar Chashev, even if it's a very Chashev, a piece of food that's in there, usually a Davar Chashev is not Batal, even by a Davar Chashev we'll say it's Batal. And Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Darche Tshuva point out that it can't be Nicker anymore, though. If I still see the piece, that it's not Batal Barov. That would be a problem for our case of the vegetables and the meat, because if I still see the meat in the stew, then that would be a problem. I would have to pull it out. If I pull it out, that's technically fine. But everything else, then everything else could be eaten. But I can't keep the Bishul Akum in the stew and eat it and say that it's Batal Barov if I still see it. The lone dissenting opinions when it comes to if you need rov is that of the Ma'arashdam in Yerodeah Simon Mem Aleph and the Pri Chadash, not a small opinion, in Simon Sadi Tes. They both say that you need shishim when it comes to Bishul Akum. It's a tremendous chiddush. They apparently think that they have a Rashba. But the Rashba is not clear what he's saying. The Rashba just says that dine bittel have to be ke'en da'oraisa, that the laws of bittel have to be as they would apply in a Torah level, meaning by the Torah level we can't have taste, and therefore that's why things are batel b'shishim. And therefore the Ma'arashdam and the Pri Chadash understand that according to the Rashba you need shishim, because there's no reason why Bishul Akum should be treated any differently. The Isser V'Hetzer says that the Rashba holds that Bishul Akum is batel b'rov. So it's unclear what to say about the Rashba. Yeah. That would answer the earlier kasha on the Rashba. Why would it answer it? Why wouldn't they just make it?
Because
he holds that as shishim.
Yeah,
but it's not clear that the Rashba holds that as shishim. That's the thing. If the Rashba said straight out that you need shishim, then that would be fine. But they're doing it based on a diuk in a Rashba. The Rashba says it has to be kein d'oraisa. But I guess according to them, according to the Pri Chadash and the Ma'arashdam, would answer up the question on the Rashba. But according to everybody else, we're still left with a question on the Rashba. The Chida writes something very strange in the Shiri Abrach and Simon Kufyot Gimel. He says that Since these two opinions hold that you need shishim, and the Mechaber and the Ramah don't say anything, it remains a machlokas haposkim, and one has room to be machmer, to be machmer for shishim when it comes to bishlakim. It's strange to be machmer in this area when you have 98% of the poskim being mako when it comes to bishlakim, and the Pri Chadash and the Marashtam being machmer, just because the Mechaber and the Ramah don't say anything, but this is the opinion of the Chida, to perhaps be machmer in such a case. I do not think that that is the opinion of the Acharonim. So, we'll just conclude that Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes in Megillah and Daf Yud Beis, he cites the Shir HaShirim Rabbah in Parachas. The Shir HaShirim Rabbah says that the reason why the Gezeirah was brought on Klal Yisrael is because they ate Bishul Akum at the Suda or before the Suda of Achashverosh. And therefore the Gezeirah was brought on Klal Yisrael for what they did. And we mentioned in the past the very striking words of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Halicha Shlomo, at least in the first edition of the Halicha Shlomo, where he talks about how the terrible things that happened to Klal Yisrael because we're not careful of Bishul Akum. And we are sitting at a point in history and time where in the same area where Haman stood and had power, there are people who are trying to wipe out the Jewish people and trying to cause a grave danger and grave harm to us and to our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, and perhaps could be in the zechus of being careful about the laws and the halachos of Bishul Akum, that we also can turn around the gzeira that Haman wanted to destroy the Jewish people, and we can turn around the gzeira that those people in his place want to destroy us. And it would end this terrible gzeira and bring Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehirah v'ameinu. Amen.